بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حضرت رسول پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم was at the Kaaba Sharif and one person came complaining, Ya Rasulullah, won't you make dua for us? The torture that we are going through, persecution, harassment, we've been driven out of our homes, and we're being persecuted only because we are loyal to Allah Ta'ala, we are faithful and truthful to Him. This is the reason for our persecution, harassment and pain. Rasulullah SAW was quite disturbed, affected, and then he says, on account of faith, of iman, an innocent person was brought, chained and tied on camel or on a horseback, and then both the horses or both the camels that he's fastened against, they are made to run in opposite ends, whilst that whole body is ripped into two. See, a clean rip-off. But this will not turn the person away from his faith. Imagine now, man being killed, but in what a brutal manner. Man will be brought only on account of his clinging onto the truth, only because he's staunch on his faith. He's combed with an iron comb until the bones are separated of the flesh. It won't turn him away from his faith. So Allah Ta'ala was, and He is, the same Allah Ta'ala that was then, He is today. Like He is observing what's going on today, and He was observant of what's going on in the past as well. But He allows this to happen. Now, the problem with us today is that we only look at the immediate. We don't look at the distant future, immediate. We trained ourselves, we have conditioned our minds for immediate results. What's going to happen eventually, we aren't really concerned. The damage done to the hereafter, we're not worried really. But damage done to your furniture, big damages. Damage done to the tile, very big damage. But damage done to your namaz, you couldn't get your namaz with takbir-e-ula. Or you didn't get your tahajjud as normal as your routine. You couldn't recite your Quran Sharif for the day as you're supposed to be. That, well, we'll cover it up, it's alright, one of those things. But the damage done to your deen, that you can tolerate it. The dunya, no, it can't. You can't tolerate it. Someone knocks your car from the back or from the front, what a big issue it becomes, eh? You know, how much it'll cost me to repair this. But this wrong that you have done, you haven't done and completed your ma'mool, or you have seen something wrong, you have watched something wrong, you behaved in a wrong manner. Don't you think that it has created a spiritual dent in you? Don't you think that you have got into a spiritual accident? And like that motor car was damaged, it will take time for that thing to repair, to correct. So the spiritual dent that you have done to yourself, you think it will just come up straight? Just make tawbah and straight away, just come right. So as though Allah Ta'ala is very cheap and your car is very precious. Allah Ta'ala is not really significant. If I damage Him, damage the relationship there, it's alright, that we can recover. But this physical material thing mustn't be any damage. Builders built the house and there's a leak on the roof. What a big noise. Plumbing is not right. What a big noise you make with the plumber, with the electrician, right? bring the roof down. My namaz is not right. Oh, I swore. I was abusive. I robbed the person. I cheated the person. I looked where I was not supposed to be seeing. I did all these things here. And this doesn't really, it doesn't create any problem for me. Not worried. No disturbance. Absolutely cold. Well, I missed it, so I'll make qasar, so what? So, anything that relates to deen, we have an indifferent attitude. And the dunya, you learn the Gujarati sayings also. Hisab kori, you make hisab, then every cent must count for. And do you count every cent of your damage that you have created to deen? The damage that you created to your deen, every cent of it, are you counting? This will go to the barber, and somehow he's cut the beard more than he's supposed to be cutting. So I just dozed off and he cut the beard. A little bit more than what he was supposed to be cutting. Not worried about it, small thing. But if the barber dented his car then we'll take it lightly. You see, we become selective. Any deeni thing is selective. Dunya thing, it doesn't come for free. I have to work for it. I worked for it. I worked very hard for it. So deen came very cheap. You take it cheap. It came without a price. So you take it very, very lightly. No concern. But ask the person who missed out his namaz or his tahajjud or his fajr. What goes on with him? One tahajjud is gone and how broken down he doesn't feel. How broken down he doesn't feel. One namaz I've missed out. Quran Sharif I've left out. I've looked at the wrong place. These people are so careful of themselves. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi used to say, Allahumma kama sunta wajhi an sujudi ghayrik. Fasun lisani an su'ali ghayrik. O Allah Ta'ala, like you have protected my forehead from bowing down to anybody else, then protect my tongue from asking anybody else. If I ask, I'll ask you. I need. I don't say, nobody says that he's got no needs. He's got needs. Sometimes that need pushes you. Pushes you. Right? Everybody's in a holiday mood and you're not holidaying, right? So if you're not holidaying, then the children are making your tashkeel. If they're not making the tashkeel, then the wife is making the tashkeel. Someone is coming. Everybody can go, but only you have to get stuck here. You're the only buzrug in town. Everybody can be celebrating and you have to be stuck here. What's wrong with you? Wake up now. Get moving. You're getting mad, you're making me mad. The wife will tell you all these stories. Until the husband says, no, bichara, really, I'm causing a depression for her, I need to do something for her. So Imam Ahmad Rahmatullah says, Allahumma kama sunta wajhi an sajdati ghayrik, wa an sujudi ghayrik, wa sun lisani an su'ali ghayrik. He's so particular, so careful. That my deen mustn't be affected, mustn't be damaged, anything. But there mustn't be damage. Like, to cover up that wealth that was lost, it'll take me some time. To cover up that spiritual damage, won't it take you time? It just comes like that. Like you have to work for this, you have to work for that. It doesn't just come automatic. So Nabi Sassam was disturbed when he heard this complaint. And he says to him, you people are just rushing up, you're hurrying up. This process you have to go through. Don't you see Nabi Sam is being persecuted, being stoned, attempted murder, driven out of Makkah Mukarrama, persecuted, living in Madina Munawwara, being hunted down. Was Allah not watching all this? He was watching all these things. There was no such thing that Allah Ta'ala wasn't there, He wasn't watching, He was watching everything what was going on. But yet he allowed all these things to continue. Right. Now we hear of one case, Aleppo and all these things here, and it just shakes us. As though there was no precedence to these things here in history. When the challenge took place between Musa alayhi salam and Firaun, the truth against the falsehood, right? When there was that eventual challenge, right? So Allah Ta'ala says, فَوَقَى الْحَقِّ وَبَطَلَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Truth was established, everybody could see. One and all, everybody could see this is the truth, this is falsehood. This is pure, and this purity and this is filth. Everybody could see. So the sorcerers that had gathered against Musa alayhi salam, approximately over 90,000, that gathered against Musa alayhi salam, they all fell down in prostration straight away. فَأُلْقِيَ السَّحَرَةُ سَاجِدِينَ قَالُوا أَمَنَّا بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ رَبِّ مُوسَى وَهَارُونَ. Fell down, bowing down straight away. The Rabb of the Alamin. They could see that this is not magic. It's not something man-made. It's above what we know of. So when it's not a man-made thing, then we need to take it in the stride. That is not man-made. It's from Allah Ta'ala this. Whatever was happening in the past, it was the false, it was the pressure of the culture and the environment that we were living in. Pressure of the environment. People that we were living in. So we were suppressed, we were doing it because of that. Not because it was the truth, but because it was a state religion. وَبِمَا أَكْرَهْتَنَا عَلَيْهِ مِنَ السِّحْرِ. Like they mentioned, okay, you made it a religion, a state religion, so we had to practice this. But now they saw the truth. Now there was no turning back. وَلْقِيَ السَّحَرَةُ سَاجِدِينَ قَالُوا أَمَنَّا بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ رَبِّ مُوسَى وَهَارُونَ. Now Firaun is really mad. Because one is the sorcerers, they are such an influential class, and they'll have their following. Then what will happen to us? See, the king and the leaders, the greatest thing that they are concerned about is their wealth and position. Truth doesn't mean much to them. Honesty, truth, loyalty, all that doesn't mean much to them. What means most to them is our position, our respect and our power. This is the greatest thing. We got this, then we have got everything. إِنَّهُمْ لَا إِيمَانَ لَهُمْ. Their oaths mean nothing to them. Their oaths, their pledges, their promises mean nothing to them. Now look at the major players. Oaths, pledges, does it mean anything to them? Nothing. Just for convenience, I can pledge something with you today. Tomorrow I can violate. On the notes they have, I promised to pay the bearer the equivalent of this amount at the Reserve Bank, right? That's what they got. It's a promise, huh? And then they cut out the 500 and 1,000 note, right? Any recourse, the promise they made that I promised to pay the bearer the equivalent of this amount on demand, right? What happened to the promise? So, innahum, see how truthful the Quran Sharif's words are? Innahum la iman alhum. The oaths mean nothing to them. It is just a stroke. It is just a move that they make just for commercial reasons. If the commercial advantage and expediency requires, then they must break all their vows, they'll break all their vows. If that requires them to keep up to their vows, their promises, their pledges, they will keep up to it. Like you see these big shops, right? Woolworths, etc. They will keep up. But why do they keep up? They keep up for material gain. It's not because of the love of Allah Ta'ala or the love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam or the loyalty that they have to the religion. No, the loyalty that they have with wealth. That wealth wants them to have this. So it's just a matter of convenience. Is it convenient to the wealth or not? If it's convenient to the wealth, they will do it. If it's not convenient to their business, they're not worried about it. So the thing that they worship is wealth. The thing that they adore is wealth. The thing that they're loyal to is wealth. Everything else is secondary. A relationship, wealth. كَيْفَ وَإِنْ يَظْهَرُوا عَلَيْكُمْ لَا يَرْقُبُوا فِيكُمْ إِلَّا وَلَا ذِمَّ. If they have the advantage over you, they will not at all respect family ties. They will not at all respect pledges, promises, covenants. Nothing, it doesn't mean anything to them. They can just turn away. And all they need to do, in the words of W.W. Hunter, he says, you know, that even if you have to kill a cockroach, then you must justify that it was, we were working under terror, you know, anti-terrorist. That cockroach had weapons of destruction. Or that cockroach died, in a crossfire it died. So you must justify the killing of anything, any destruction, you must justify it. So in the public eye, you are still justified. The public still supports you, know, that cockroach, that thing, had weapons of mass destruction. Or that thing died just because of the crossfire. Because we didn't intend it. So whatever you're going to do, you're going to justify it, then you're going to do it. So you see that, innahum la imanalahum, they got no respect for their oaths. Oaths, covenants, pledges mean nothing to them. كَيْفَ وَإِنْ يَظْهَرُوا عَلَيْكُمْ لَا يَرْقُبُوا فِيكُمْ إِلَّا وَلَا ذِمَّ. What they do, يُرْدُونَكُمْ بِأَفْوَاهِمْ وَتَأَبَى قُلُوبُهُمْ. They just appease you with their tongues. Hearts are totally averse. So how are you going to work with the people like this? Can you work? That is why, I'll come back to this topic, right? Allah speaks about them. مَا كَانَ لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ أَن يَعْمُرُوا مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ شَاهِدِينَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ بِالْكُفْرِ. Just look at this verse, right? They don't have the right to maintain the masjids of Allah Ta'ala. The house of Allah Ta'ala, they don't have the right. Why they don't have the right? شَاهِدِينَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ بِالْكُفْرِ. They are witnesses against their own souls of the crime of disbelief. They're involved in disbelief. So how can they maintain? When you say maintain the masjid, maintain the house of Allah Ta'ala, it will maintain it with both the spiritual as well as the material. Right? One is the upkeep, one is the maintaining, that is the physical, right? The physical. And the second is the spiritual. The spiritual is of zikr, the fear of Allah Ta'ala, ikhlas, sincerity. This is how you're going to maintain the house of Allah Ta'ala. You can't just maintain the physical and ignore the spiritual, and you can't just maintain the spiritual and ignore the physical. Both have to be. So, shahideena ala anfusim bil kufr, they are witnesses against their own souls of the crime of kufr. When they are witnesses against their own souls of the crime of kufr, can they be the maintainers? Can they be the guardians? Can they be the custodians? Can they be the trustees of the masjid? Because both efforts are going in diverse directions. إِنَّمَا يَعْمُرُ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَ الزَّكَاةَ وَلَمْ يَخْشَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. The one that's got the right to maintain the house of Allah Ta'ala, this is what he'll do. Namaz, zakat, fears none but Allah Ta'ala, worships Allah Ta'ala alone. So this is the thing that flourishes the masjid. This is the thing that maintains the masjid. This is the thing that maintains the house of Allah Ta'ala. So one person is that he is maintaining the house of Allah Ta'ala, is maintaining the spirituality of Allah Ta'ala, spirituality of Islam. And the other is violating and destroying, demolishing that spirituality. Total violation. He's in kufr, so he's violating. Right? And the other one is bringing it up. I ask you, can both be identical? Can both be the same? You are a business. The business, right, is to make money. Right. So two people say that they offer to run your business. So you want to try them out. Or they've got two businesses. You run one and you run the other one. This person wants to sell, make a profit, and make something for you. And this person here, He wants your shop to close down, but he's calling the robbers to come and rob from your shop. Can he be the person that's going to maintain your business? So how can you say that the kafir can maintain your business? Can't maintain. Impossible. He can't maintain. He can't look after the business. As Muhammad Idris says under the same verse, who's going to maintain the masjid of the house of Allah Ta'ala, and who is the maintainers? He says, there is a discussion amongst the ulama-i kiram that can you bring a kafir to the masjid? So he says, if they are coming in humility and respect for the masjid, then you will allow them. With humility and respect, with submission they are coming, then you allow them. But if they are coming to the masjid to show their glory and to impress about their position, etc., right, and to come and lecture the Muslims, then his words are, this is haram. If they are coming in with submission, with humility, with respect, then they want to gain the truth of Islam. They want to gain some understanding of Islam. What is Islam? They want to go and see that. Right? He came with a good heart. But he's coming in to show his glory. He's coming in to show his respect. He's coming in to show the position of his party. And he wants to lecture the Muslims. Then this is haram. Because it's total violation. He's off the tangent completely. And this person is going on a different route altogether. How can he be called to come and lecture? When he's a kafir, shahideena ala anfusihim bil kufr. Look at the verse of the Quran Sharif. Repeatedly, just look at the verse. Shahideena ala anfusihim bil kufr. When they are witnesses of the crime of kufr, how can they ever maintain the house of Allah? So in the time of Musa alayhi salam, when this clash is taking place between the truth and falsehood, and those sorcerers come to Musa alayhi salam, and they say, What is there for us? What is in there for us? You know, we made such a sacrifice for you. We did so much for you. So when we're doing so much for you, then what's there in return? Rulers, worldly rulers, they have got two types of approaches. They want you to do something, then two approaches they have. One is, they will show you a perk. They will show an incentive. They will show you the benefits that you'll get. Oh, you'll get so much. Every day you work at us, you'll get 5,000 rand, right? So they will show you something worldly they will show you to attract you, to draw you in, right? So this is world, right? This is material. They will show you some material to entice you. Right? Pharaoh said, you know, you will win this day for me. The whole state is in a crisis. The whole government, the whole parliament is shaking here. What's going to happen? What's going to be the outcome? Islam is the fastest growing religion. Right? When it's the fastest growing religion in Europe, then it's shaking them to the roots. What's going to happen? And if anybody can come and show a way how you're going to block the Islam, إِنَّكُمْ إِذَلْ لَمِنَ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ, you'll be posted to ranks highest to us. If you're going to show me a route, then I'm going to jam this Islam completely. I'm going to block it off completely. Then what? إِنَّكُمْ إِذَلْ لَمِنَ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ. Then you will be posted to positions closest to me. Imagine, the head of the state, right? In this country it will be Zuma, any other country, right? Trump, who are the, who, Trump or Trump, whatever, right? So, America, right? So if he says, for a moment, he says, you know, you will be posted to a position closest to me, what will happen to you? Hey, you'll be dreaming, you know, I'll get a position closest to him, I'll get the business contacts, I will do things, I can do things, get passports, get all my people, get a whole colony of my people. What dreams you will have? Because the king is giving his assurance, إِنَّكُمْ إِذَا لَّمِنَ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ, I will not just pay you for this, I will post you to positions nearest to me. See that? So the king, the whole state is in a crisis. So Europe is in a crisis, that Islam is the fastest growing religion. Now, how do we jam this up? How do we break this thing here? So we need every way possible to break this Islam. In the meanwhile, they came in. They came in with a lot of cloud. They came in, and they came and they said, "فألقوا حبالهم وعصيهم وقالوا بعزة فرعون إنا لنحن الغالبون." They threw their rods, their ropes, and they said, "In the honor of Fir'aun, we must win today. We must win today." Now, when this happens, everything worked against them. Now, Fir'aun went like berserk. He couldn't withstand this. You know, they say that a person of wealth, if you want to really shake him up, you don't sway him. You don't insult him. Don't insult him. Don't sway him. He doesn't get shaken up. But if you really want to shake him up, just take his wealth away from him. See what happens to him. See that pride, that power, that clout he's got is because of the wealth. You know that you got 1 billion he's got. So because of that billion, he feels that he's strong, he's mighty, he's got the influence. Now you want to break him, that you don't sway him. Sway doesn't mean anything to him. Because respect and shame all has left his life. He's not worried about that. What he's worried about is the preservation of his wealth. And if you can just take that wealth away from him, see what will happen to him. You will break him down complete. He can't stand up. So Fir'aun is really damaged. He is really broken down. When he's broken down, in that broken down state, he says, "Amantum lahu qabla an aadhana lakum." You, when I did this, you didn't even ask my consent. You didn't even take permission from me. So the one perk that he kept, thing that he kept as an encouragement was a perk that will be posted. If this doesn't work, then if tarheeb doesn't work, then tarheeb. Then he'll frighten you. He will scare you off, right? He'll pass the terrorism bill against you. So you won't be able to move. Your movement will be all restricted. We'll take away your property. We'll send you to Guantanamo Bay, right? We'll do all these things here. And if you listen to us, we'll open out the red carpet for you. Everything. Right. So we'll do everything for you. In tukbilu nu'aniku wa nafrushun namariku. They also said that time, the woman to go and entice them to go forward into war. Said, in tukbilu nu'aniku wa nafrushun namariku. Women are enticing all the youngsters to fight against the Muslim. What they said, if you go, you carry on, then we will embrace you. Imagine young women now, they all saying, hey, we will embrace you. And we'll roll out the carpets for you. What does the youngster want? He wants joy, he wants comfort. And this woman now, they are enticing him, they are moving him. Tukbilu nu'aniku wa nafrushun namariku. We will open our carpets for you, everything will be for you. So the one lever that they use is the perk, is the worldly incentive. If that doesn't work, then they use the clout. So they'll show you power, they'll show you strength. You know what power we have. You know what strength we have. You have underestimated us. You don't know what we are. So he uses that other one. Because this didn't work. This material didn't work. Now he uses force and he says, and if it doesn't, then you people are not listening to me. You are just listening to Musa alayhi salam. So I'll fix you up. لَأُقَطِّيَنَّ أَيْدِيَكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ مِنْ خِلَافٍ وَلَوْ صَلِّبَنَّكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. I will amputate your hand and your feet from the opposite ends, and I will crucify you on the trunk of trees. See that? See the type of threat. So when we think, and when we analyze situations, we think to ourselves, okay, these situations are some things that are unique to us. It's only happening to us. It never happened in the past. But do you see how these things happened in the past? Worse off. No second chance. You just accept Islam. There. We're going to shoot you down straight away. It will be a lesson for your children and everybody else. We'll have leave you hanging there on the tree trunks. Everybody can see your body. Frightening, isn't it frightening? And nobody can pull off your body. They pull off the body, they'll meet the same fate as yourself. You see your father there and he's hanging there. How do you feel? لَقَطْيَنَّ أَيْدِيَكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ مِنْ خِلَافٍ وَلُصَلِّبَنَّكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. Now look at the response of these people that accepted Islam. Remember, the beginning of the day, they came out challenging the greatest person on the surface of this earth. Came to challenge against Musa alayhi salam, the greatest person. But by the end of the day, I don't think after Musa alayhi salam, there was anybody as great as them. Now look at the response. Their life is going, everything is gone from them. But their closing words, what their closing words are? Their closing words are, فَقْدِي مَا أَنْتَ قَادِ إِنَّمَا تَقْدِي هَذِي الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. You may decide as you want, you may do as you want. The furthest your decision can influence is to the life of this world. Only to this point you can, your decisions can work. Beyond that, it doesn't work. You can decide, you can kill us, you can destroy us, you can do whatever you want. But you can only work through the time that our eyes close. It's not beyond that. So when your rule only lasts to the point our eyes close, so it's not a big deal. Life is short as it is. And then if you terminate, then we're not in any problem. We're not in a crisis. The crisis, you are in a crisis. Because you don't believe in the concept of the hereafter. So there's a crisis for you. How the crisis become is, because everything is gloomy now. Everything is dark now. Because you only believe to the life of this world. So everything went away, your life is gone. The gloominess is gone, everything is gone. The bloom is gone, the brightness is gone, everything is gone. And for us, the life only starts at that point. At death, the life starts. Because, إِنَّا نَطْمَعُ أَن يَغْفِرَ لَنَا رَبُّنَا خَطَايَنَا أَن كُنَّا أَوَّلَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. We have got two things our minds focused on. One is, we hope Allah Pak will forgive us. As though they're saying to Fir'aun, you know, this is an opportunity of a lifetime. Allah Ta'ala had requested that we offer our lives. The beloved of the beloved, he has asked, give me this life of yours. Imagine the beloved of the beloved, he's saying, give me this life. Whereas the life, jaan di hui thi usi ki thi. Life is given by Allah Ta'ala. And then he said, you know, I want your life. Your life is too precious. Just give it to me. And what do you say? Allah Pak, can there be a moment sweeter than this? Can there be a moment more enjoyable than this? Jaan di hui thi usi ki thi. He has given the life. And he, of all people, this gunegar like me, and he wants my life. Allah Pak is an opportunity. I don't want to look back. When you want Allah Pak, when? Now. So take it, Allah Pak. Inna natma'u an yaghfira lana. So, why we are thinking like this when we hear all this elope, etc. Why we are thinking like this? We are thinking like this because we are trained and educated in secular environments. In a school, college, or a university, or the media that we are exposed to, does it ever speak about the life after death? Their whole concentration is just this world here. In school, they were told, you know, life after death, qabr, very important, must work for that. Did they ever ask you? In the college, did they ever ask you? Did they ever concentrate on that? The life of the akhirat is very important, must try and work for that. No, that's not their focus at all. The only concern is this life. You made it here, you really made it. You didn't make it here, you're a total failure. This is how they construe life. This is how they understand life. That if you failed here, then you're a total failure. And if you made it here, you really made it. So we are exposed to these environments. We exposed, our children are exposed to these environments. After that 20 years of that education, 13, 14 years in school, then another 4-5 years in university, then being indoctrinated, now I must get this, I must get this, I must get this. If I made it here, then I made it. If I didn't make it here, I'm a total failure. That's how we think. If anybody makes it, then you say, no, I made it. And he didn't make it, then he said, no, he's a failure. This is how we begin to reason. Not realizing that life really starts after death. That real life starts after that. إِنَّهُ مَيَّأْتِ رَبَّهُ مُجْرِمًا. They are giving a bayan to Firaun. إِنَّهُ مَيَّأْتِ رَبَّهُ مُجْرِمًا فَإِنَّ لَهُ جَهَنَّمْ لَا يَمُوتُ فِيهَا وَلَا يَحْيَا. That person that is a real failure is the person who died as a sinner, as a crank, as a criminal. Not rejecting Allah Ta'ala. And he died as a criminal rejecting Allah Ta'ala. Right? So he is a real failure. Because he's going to be perpetually in Jahannam. You can't call it a life. You can't call it death. You can't call it a life because no life. You're always under persecution. You're always in problems. Right? So there's no life. And you can't call it a death because there's no end to your persecution. You're being persecuted, you're being punished all the time. So it's not life, no death. Can you think of a failure worse than this? And وَمَنْ يَأْتِيهِ مُؤْمِنًا قَدْ عَمِلَ الصَّالِحَاتِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الدَّرَجَاتُ اللَّهِ. By the same token, you come in with iman. You come in to Allah Ta'ala with iman that you'll be posted to the highest ranks. Here, if you're only saying highest ranks, Allah says, فَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الدَّرَجَاتُ اللَّهِ. We will post you. We guarantee you this. So, our mind doesn't go into this direction because we are trained, we are tutored, we are educated in this environment. When we are educated in this environment, that colors begin to rub upon us. When it rub upon us, hey, what's happening to these people here? We can't see beyond this. And Allah Ta'ala opened these people's eyes. They were pure, they were clean. Though they came in as sorcerers, but they had something, some concern in their eyes, some concern in their hearts. They had some fikr in their hearts. Allah Ta'ala appreciated that fikr, and he translated it into iman. They were concerned. Are we doing the right thing, not the right thing? And Firaun didn't have that concern. Though he had that glory, that might and intelligence, right? Kanu mustabsirin, Allah speaks about them. He had the intelligence. You go and see those pyramids, it's mind-boggling. Mathematicians, they can't understand, engineers can't understand how they constructed such things. Right? In that zaman, at least 3,000 years ago, how they managed to do all these things, right? But iman will not appeal to them. The right thing will not appeal. It will not appeal to them. So these colors, these kufr colors are rubbing onto us. So therefore we see it like how they are seeing it. We begin to believe like how they believe. Right? And then we will do everything like them. So the questions that will come to us also will be of this, in the same vein. You will find around this time of the year, questions will be coming up. Mawlana, can we? It's a year-end party now, and the company has been invited, and they're going to be serving beer, right? Serving wine. Can we participate? But you'll never have a Muslim asking Christian that we having a yearly ijtima. Can we bring our kafir friends? So who's influencing who? I ask you, whose influence has overcome? Whose influence has prevailed? We're not talking of haram and halal. But I'm asking, whose influence? His influence is coming on you, but you can't influence him. We've got our ijtima, tablighi jamaat coming here. Can we bring these kafir friends and let them sit in the program? Can we sit with them on the same dastarkhan and eat together? Yes, you will ask this question here. They're serving wine. Can we sit with them and eat and dine? That you will ask. But you will never ask that this Tabligh Jamaat is coming and they're having meals together. Can we call all his coffee, Mr. John, Peter and Mr. whatever? Let them eat on the dastarkhan with us, listen to the program, take them out one day in Jamaat. Did you ever ask that? So that means who's influencing who? Who's influencing who? That is now on a social level. On a financial, commercial level, they're doing interesting, overdrafting. Can we do something just Islamicize the thing. Somehow, just push that into Islam. Can we do it? But we're not asking this question, that can't we push Islam into them? Not squeeze Islam, but squeeze them into Islam. Squeeze their mechanics into Islam. Yes, can we squeeze Islam into them? Make it seem permissible. Somehow or the other, can we make it look permissible? So I ask you, who's influencing who? Now, as I'm saying that, don't get me wrong, I'm not talking of permissibility and impermissibility. I'm talking of influence. Who's influencing who? In the clothing and whatever else, can we wear Bermudas and all that? Oh, I got this Bermuda, this type of shoes I got, this type of dress, shorts and jeans and all that, that you're advertising for, right? But can you, did you ever hear any person asking, you know, can we influence kafirs to wear kurtas, to wear topis, keep beards? Can we ever do that? Yes, their influences, we are succumbing to the influence. But our things, apni ghar ki baat hai, our things, we're not influencing them. So that means we are suffering an inferiority. So anyway, I say this is not something unique to this zamana. It happened in the past as well. Those people of Musa alayhi salam complained, "Udina min qabli anta atiyana wa min ba'di ma jitana." They complained to Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam, we always had problems. We had problems before you could come to us. And after you came to us, we had problems. Before your birth, and the Israelites were under the knife all the time. Under the knife. Imagine now, what level of brutality, right? Whereas if you look into ancient history books, they will tell you the most old civilizations, either in China or in Egypt, right? But they were the most civilized people at that time, right? The most ancient civilization. But imagine the level of brutality. The level of brutality just based on some prediction. Someone had some prediction or some dream, right? Based on that, what was going on? That every male issue that was born to the Bani Israel was under the sword. Imagine now the child was just born. In front of the mother, the child is pulled away and is cut into two. Mother is witnessing this. Your child now, you know, what dreams you had, what you anticipated. Child is just born. It's a day of khushi, day of celebration, day of happiness. The child is just pulled away from the mother, straight away cut into two and thrown. Or take the body. You can do what you want. Can you understand the level of brutality? So those people also complain. Udina min qabli anta atiyana wa min ba'di ma jitana. Most civilized. You cannot say that they were backwards. They are most civilized. But you see the level of brutality. So if you see a repetition of this, then all these people come from the same brotherhood. Whether it's the kuffar today, or whether kuffar in the past, same brotherhood, same blood, same brotherhood, everything identical, same. So their behaviors will also be the same. The thinking and the behavior, the treatment to the Muslims also will be the same. So then don't consider this to be something unique with you. Anyway, this is now Musa alayhi salam. Then again, the Quran Sharif has got another incident about the same thing. Torture, brutality. قُتِلَ أَصْحَابُ الْأُخْدُودِ النَّارِ ذَاتِ الْوَقُودِ إِذْ هُمْ عَلَيْهَا قُعُودِ وَهُمْ عَلَى مَا يَفْعَلُونَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ الشُّهُودِ. These people accepted Islam. Based on some, whatever facts that were presented before them, they accepted Islam. And again, they accepted Islam in numbers, great numbers. Now, the rulers of the time are really worried now. These people, hordes of them are just accepting Islam. They saw the truth and they were accepting Islam. So what's going to happen to us? Hamara kursi ka kya hal hoga? You know, our positions, our might, what's going to happen to it? So the Quran Sharif has got it recalled, قُتِلَ أَصْحَابُ الْأُخْدُودِ. They dug up big trenches and lit up infernos. Right, Islam or disbelief? Islam or kufr? One of the two. Make up your mind. Islam, I jump in. Islam, so you jump in. Now, thousands of people are just being thrown into the fire. The hadith got it in record that one woman her child is taken away from her, you know, just to make her feel emotional, and the child is thrown through the fire. Around that time, that mother, can you imagine that the mother, the child is just being thrown. And the mother is feeling, what must I do? Must I forsake my religion for the child? Or what must I do? You know what happens to that mother? Only one child you've got. And the child is grabbed out of your, it's pulled out of your hands and about to be thrown into the fire. What happens to the mother at that time? So the mother is deliberating. She's doubtful. The child is saying, Ma, you jump in, it's Jannat here. So the difference is this, jisne dekh liya, to wo wapas aana nahi chahta. The one that has seen it, he doesn't want to return. He doesn't want to come back. Just that we don't see it. Or we don't believe the one that is talking about it. The one that is talking about it, who saw the thing, he also speaks the same language. This child saw it, so the child is speaking to his mother, is cautioning the mother. And the one that saw it speaks the same language. He says, وَدِدْتُ أَنْ أُقْتَلَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ أُحْيَا ثُمَّ أُقْتَلَ ثُمَّ أُحْيَا ثُمَّ أُقْتَلَ. I just long. That opportunity that I can just place my life before Allah Ta'ala. That Allah Ta'ala returns me back to life. That I can present it again to Him. That again He gives it back to me. And again I present it to Him. And He must just continue as though He's saying, it must just continue for infinity. Because He saw it, He tasted it, He understood what it is. We never taste the thing. That's why you feel, hey, hamara logo ka kya ho raha hai? You never taste the thing. Perhaps the plan of Allah Ta'ala is to expedite the journey to Jannat. For millions of people, Allah Ta'ala wants to expedite the journey to Jannat. Like it is a microwave zamana, everything must be expedited. Allah Ta'ala is expediting your journey to Jannat quick. Right, you're born, you've been killed, thrown in, right, bombed, right, in different ways. That time they were putting you under the knife, now under the bomb. But same, the concept, the mentality is the same, must put you away. What's your crime? Your crime is Islam, so put you away. For the moment you are grieving for the moment. But then it's all cheers. For the moment you will grieve, you will be tearing, your family and folks will be tearing. But then that tears into this into cheers. One sahabi is passing away, he's on the deathbed, so his wife is crying. So, you know, I thought you would die as a shaheed. And you're dying on your bed. Nabi Sam overheard this. What do you think? A shaheed is only that. This thing is also a shaheed, this type of a sickness, etc. It's also a shaheed. So that wife is also wishing for the husband to die as a shaheed. Because they have the taste of it, the enjoyment. Apart from it, just think of it. In your own mind, think of it. Allah Pak says, I want your life. I want you. You, what will you say? What is supposed to be your response? Allah Pak, give me a break. He says, I want you. I like you. I want you. Allah Pak, take me now. Allah Pak has given me this blessing, this opportunity. He wants me. Allah Pak, you have it. So, on that occasion, then what did Musa alayhi salam advise his people? He said, Ista'inu billahi wasbiru. Now, if you look at the Quran, the Hadith, step of insolence are replete. Everywhere you'll find it. But just that, just think about it a little bit. Our problem is we don't think. Sitting in the car, listen to bayan. Again, listen to another bayan, third bayan, fourth bayan. The more important thing is after we've listened, now then we analyzing, sitting on the bed, discussing with the wife, trying to understand what's the points here. This was what was mentioned in the Quran Sharif. The story of this incident had come in. But what is the lesson? What do we learn out of this whole thing? So I tell you, this type of incidents are replete in the Quran Sharif. And I think, at some level, Allah Pak is saying, "By you know, this zamana, so much of fitna going to come, let me take you away with ease." So if Allah Pak has taken somebody away with ease, with iman, I tell you, it's better than a trillion lives. You can't add a price to that. He has taken you with iman. He has taken you with ease. He has taken you away to the comfort of His mercy, to the warmth of His affection. He has taken you. So what's better? You've been saved from all the fitnas, all the troubles. The warmth of His affection. Go on. usse behtar koi cheez ho sakti hai? Can you think, can you imagine of anything greater than that? But just that, we've been trained only to think about material, material, material. That's all though. Only that goes in our mind, material. It happened to our brothers, yes. We sympathize for them. It's not that we are cheering over this tragedy and all. We're not celebrating over the tragedy. But we don't become depressed like them. For them it's an occasion of depression. It's got a mental problem. Someone died now, it's a mental problem. They can't manage it. They can't handle it. And for us, yes, we sympathize. We feel sorry for them. But we know that what they are now is far better than what they left. What they gone to is far better, millions and billions of times better than what they have left. So we're rejoicing for them. فَرِحِينَ بِمَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Rejoicing at the grace of Allah Ta'ala. What Allah has blessed them, they rejoice over it. Now the question is that, what do we do? Like I say, there's a lot of incidents here. But now, if I'm going to tell you all the other incidents, then you ask, alright, what do we do? Apart from understanding this happened in the past, so we feel at ease, alright, it's not something exclusive with us. It happened in the past, it's happening now, so we're in line. If it happened to the believers in the past, it's happening to the believers in this age and time, so we're in line. It's actually a reaffirmation, you know. It's a reaffirmation. Alhamdulillah, I'm on line. It's happened to my brother, it's happening to me. It's a reaffirmation. It's a confirmation. Like Allah Pak says, إِن يُكَذِّبُوكَ فَقَدْ كُذِّبَتْ رُسُلُ مِّن قَبْلِكَ. If they disbelieve, then the other Anbiya al-Islam also were rejected. If they reject you, they rejected them also. So actually it's a consolation that you're online. Like other Rasuls were treated in this manner, we're being treated in the same manner. So it's a confirmation. It's an affirmation. It's a proof that you're online. So there's nothing to be depressed about. So the one thing is that there's nothing to be depressed about really. Yes, we are feeling hurt. Under the circumstance, what are we supposed to be doing? Right? One is the type of assistance that we can render. We render to those brothers, wherever they are. Right? Those that are oppressed, those that are being treated in this, right? We support them however we can support them under the legal parameter. Within legal parameters, we do whatever we can do. Right? The second thing that Musa alayhi salam speaks about, istaeenu billahi wasbiru. So there's two things. Istaeenu billah wasbiru. Isbiru, yani hold firm. You be loyal to me. See, in this whole exercise of life, what Allah wants to see? He wants to see two things. The level of loyalty and the level of your endurance. I want to see now, in this circumstance, are you going to be loyal? And are you going to still stick on to me? A little bit of difficulty came. Now you can't manage, you know. You have to go to the banks, man. Have to do this now. We can't manage, you know, that halal haram, too much making halal haram, so we can't manage it. So Allah is going to see the level of your endurance, how much you're going to do it. How much you're going to do it? I know of people where they were not sure about halal haram. Sometimes the husband's earning is not right, working in a bank, etc. Right? But the women are so kumbhut, Allah reward them over and over again. Some of them for a year altogether completely, they didn't eat of the husband's earnings without the husband even realizing. However they did it, but they did it. Women are good. You know, always making plans and all, they're good, right? So when they want to make a plan, they can really make it work. So she didn't eat of the husband's earnings for a year, just when she realized that the husband is not eating the right thing. So hold firm. Allah is going to see that loyalty, that under the circumstance, when you pushed, when you pushed from the corner, pushed against the wall, you still hold on to me. When you were easy, then you were talking about me, you were talking about my love. But now that you pushed against the wall, are you still holding on to me? So you want to see your faith, you want to see your loyalty, how strong you hold on to me. A little bit now, can't we go to this fashion show here, can't we go and celebrate this, kuffar are doing this, can't we do it? No endurance, no loyalty. Hopping from this to that, jumping from this to this. Today with the Muslims, tomorrow with the kafir, today with Allah's friends, tomorrow with Shaitan's friends. So where's the loyalty? So what he wants to see is the loyalty. Not this jumping around everywhere. Oh, only for them. Yeah, we can't go to this hotel, we can't go to cabanas, bananas, we can't do anything. Right. So we want to go and celebrate with them. I ask you, where's your loyalty then? Is your loyalty with Rahman or with Shaitan? Make up your mind. We're not talking of the haram and the halal. But I'm asking you, where is your loyalty? And number two is, how much are we being seduced and sucked into the system? Did we bring them to the masjid, come and see? Whichever time, but did we do that? Did we invite them? Come, learn from us. But yes, cabanas and bananas, we're going to go there. We sucked into the system, into their ways, into their thinking. Everything of theirs appeals to them, appeals to us. If that lady is dressing up three-quarter naked and walking around, then it appeals to a woman, must do it. Whether in a house, whether out of the house, but she must do it. And it will appeal to the husband if she's dressed up like that. Yes, if she's dressed in a modest, respectable manner, all right, beautiful for the husband, but respect and modesty, that doesn't appeal. Everything, every filth and dirt of that kafir, that appeals to you. Nothing of yours appeals to them. Did you ever think of it in this manner? That are you showing loyalty and inclination to them, or they are being inclined towards you? Who's marketing whose product? So show your loyalty, right? Show your obedience, show your loyalty. Whatever it is. You know, I was so excited. One person told me, you know, our company, I work for some company, says, and they gave everybody a box of biscuit, good box of biscuit. So I saw the ingredients all were halal, but can I participate? So I said, what makes you doubt? He said, no, it's coming from Denmark. And you know what they did, how they made cartoons of Ambiya and Sahaba, etc. So I don't feel comfortable at all from eating. Now, I don't want to know, I don't do the wrong thing. But what should I do? I said to him, I really appreciate the spirit. I also will not say it's haram, but really I would have eaten it myself. In maintaining the loyalty with my brotherhood, I wouldn't have eaten that product. Whatever it was, we're not going to say it's haram. But there is something like shame. The man was, he killed your father, he swore your mother, he abused everybody there. You're going to take something from his house. How are you going to do that? You can't. The question of haram and halal is a different thing. But there is something like shame, there is something like respect. You've got to, do you have any pride of your religion? The pride of your religion would stay, no, come what may. Keep it to yourself. Keep it to yourself. I don't need this. Ordinary Musalli, and he came on telling me this. I said, I really respect the spirit that you're speaking with. Allah give us that type of loyalty. Istainu billahi wasbiru. So hold firm. And the second thing Allah Ta'ala says, Istainu billah. Allah Pak is not dead. Same Allah Ta'ala was that time, he is now. So he's asking big of my help. On the night of Badr, Nabi Sam is 300. And that other side, the kuffar, are three times his size, armed to the teeth. So what did he do? Istastaghithuna rabbakum. He begged Allah Ta'ala's assistance. And you beg Allah Ta'ala's assistance with this firmness and stability, and number two with namaz. These are the two weapons that you've got. Are you employing them? Alright, I say one is the assistance, whatever you can do within the parameters of the legal parameters, whatever you do. But what are you supposed to be besides that? Are you doing that? Did you ever think, are you doing anything beyond that? So one is to show our loyalty, our firmness, right? And number two, are we asking Allah Ta'ala? Are we begging Allah Ta'ala? That's the second thing. My mind was wandering around. Alright, what is the third thing that we're supposed to be doing? These two things I mentioned. In the light of the Quran and this, what is the third thing? The third thing is, وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةَ لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصَّةً. A punishment that will not only affect the wrong. This is when we see a wrong happening, we're not talking about it, we're blind to it. You see, the people are mixing up, they're talking, boys are talking to girls, everything like baboons, and nobody's talking about it. They're not dressed up correctly, we're not worried about it. We're not talking about it. At least start off with talim in the house. Put some realization in the children. We're seeing the wrong happening, openly, blatantly. It's the law of Allah Ta'ala that is being violated. And nobody's concerned. I ask you, if someone is practicing terrorism in your house, will you accept that? Will you tolerate that? No. Hey, you not only will you get into problem, we'll get into problem. Make up your mind, you want to do this, You got to do this and you carry on somewhere else. Otherwise, we'll all get dragged into this problem just now. So are we doing this? Whichever way, to the capacity, to our capacity, to our level, I say everybody can do it. Everybody can do it. Every Muslim can do it. But think, by Labak made us businessmen, right? How to market the product. You got ways to market the product, haven't you got? One brother was telling me. So he went to mark the matric papers, right? Now you saw the poor, the other class, right? They were not getting along so very well. So he offered to help them. Took the papers and offered to help them, alright? They appreciated it, right? But now, immediate effect, those people that he helped out marking those papers, right? The immediate effect is, see, Mr. So-and-so, Mr. Muhammad, or whoever, Mr. Muhammad, he washes his hands and eats. So let us all wash our hands. Immediately, see the effect that it had. That little bit of consideration that you had to these people here, and immediately, what was the result? You see? You showed a little bit of kindness, alright, why must we be spiteful? They can't do it, they must get stuck. Getting paid for haram here. Why must it be like that? So now, these guys, they can't manage it, let's go and help them out. Although it's our effort, let them take the credit for it. Did we ever think like this at any time? We only think business. Business, and business, and business. You know, some businessmen come and tell me, you know, our best clients are these people here. I said, why? I was surprised. You know? No, you know, you know, buy a machine, a car, these people, they never complain. S-class Mercedes, no, they take you 1.5, take it, go. However, they got the money. But I ask you, is this good business? Now, they only looked at it from one perspective. The better way for a Muslim was, by live within your budget. You got only 1.5 million. You're going to beg from the banks. It's going to take you 5-6 years to pay. You can live, you can move around with a Corolla. You will give me more money, right? But I ask you, are you bringing problem to your life or not? So this is why he's my best client. This person is my best client. Whatever I tell him, he's really paying it. I tell you that you be a little bit considerate to this person. You can't think, who can't understand, who can't analyze life. It's better than you making thousands of umrah. Be a little bit considerate. And then when they being inconsiderate to you, with their butchering, whatever, then you got a lot to say. But just as one consideration, so let's go and wash our hands. How Mr. Muhammad is doing it. He's sitting and eating. Let's sit and eat. We won't stand and eat like animals. We will sit and eat. That one little act of consideration, but how he impacted. So what we can do, how we can influence our product, we influence it within our home, within the people that we can influence. Can't we do it? After all, our wealth, our business, for the business reasons that we influence, we market our product. Can't we do it for the deen?